Well, good evening, everybody. According to the clock on the wall and the countdown, it is time to get started. So it's good to be with you tonight. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day. I got to spend mine inside except for the two 10-minute session. We got to go out twice for lunch duty today. So got to spend about 20 minutes outside with the kids and then all that, and then got to walk before church this evening. Saw Wink out walking, huh? Wink was out walking the parking lot, and I was out just sort of walking around. I was telling Pat, I like walking the grounds, just seeing if anything's changed, especially over the winter and all that, and seeing what's going on out there. But hopefully I'll get to do more of that now that the weather's starting to change, and we'll be able to enjoy that out there. And don't forget, we've got that walking trail out there too for all y'all. It's really doesn't have, the smaller one doesn't have too many hills on it. I think it's a quarter mile. And then they've got one where you walk out the back area and up through the Sportsman's Park and then up a little bit on that hill out there. But it doesn't include the walk up to the main road. So it's not super hilly. Has a little bit on it, but that's a half mile. So anyway, hopefully we'll get to do more of that, like I said. So anyway, let's pray. We'll get started tonight. And don't forget, those of you all who are online with us, you can put your prayer requests on at any time, and we'll go back and we'll take a look at those when we get to the end of our Bible study this evening. All right? So let's pray. Father, we just thank you once again so much for tonight. Father, what a beautiful evening you've given us. And Father, once again, just seeing things starting to green up and just getting ready for spring and then summer as it's coming. And Father, we just thank you so much for the seasons that we get to enjoy here in our valley. And Father, it's a great time. And we get to enjoy so much. Lord, be with us tonight as we take a look at your word. And Father, once again, as we take a look at worship. And Lord, as we continue to take a look at the difference between the way that the Samaritans worshiped and the Jewish people worshiped. And Father, how those two, neither one really met the mark for what you had intended for worship to be. And so Father, tonight, just use this time to speak to us. And Father, help us to just be able Father, to bring true worship to you, Lord, and that we can just give you praise. Father, the praise that you deserve. And so, Lord, once again, we just thank you for the night. We thank you for your word. And Lord, just bless our time together this evening. We ask all this in your name. Amen. All right, so tonight's is titled Worship in Spirit and in Truth. And I did split this in two because we probably had, with the words I had typed, and y'all know how I am, the words that I'd typed said that we are about 15 minutes, which probably means we're closer to 25 to 30. So I'm starting to realize that a little bit more. So anyway, so worship in spirit and in truth, part one. So like I was saying, we took a look at the woman at the well. We've been sort of focusing on John 4 here for the last few lessons, okay? And she was looking for the proper way to worship once again, but she saw that there were only two options for her. And those two options were the Samaritan method, which she asked Jesus about, and she saw the Jewish method. And Jesus was sort of setting her up to find the true way to worship when he told her that both of these methods were wrong. And we took a look at that a couple weeks ago. So the Samaritan method, what was going on with it? Well, it was really because they didn't have the upbringing, and like we talked about, their method of worship was really just a hodgepodge of the different groups that were coming through what was known as Israel, because Israel had been taken captive. The Samaritan group had been left there. They were the group that had been left. And they intermarried, they brought all these different religions in and tried to meld them into their own form. And so it was really more or less done out of ignorance. They rejected the Old Testament except for the Pentateuch. They didn't want anything to do with the rest of the Old Testament. Now, the one thing that their worship did have, it was very enthusiastic. They got into it, but they didn't have the proper background. They didn't understand all that was involved with it. They wanted to worship in spirit, but not in truth. So John 4:22, and we'll come back to this one again here in just a little bit as we take a look at the Jewish method. But this says, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So the Jewish method, what was up with it? Well, they accepted all the books of the Old Testament. And when they prayed and they gave alms, they had the knowledge, but their heart wasn't into what they were doing. They were just into, okay, we got to come in and we got to fulfill this thing here. So let's do that. Check. Next week we come in. Okay, well, we got to do this week. Check. To them, it was just a bunch of items that need worship. Their worship was just a bunch of items that needed to be checked off the list. And that's what their worship was. They had truth, but they lacked spirit. Mark 7:6, and he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Sorry. Another way to look at it is, and that's this slide, the Samaritan worship was enthusiastic heresy. They had, buddy, they really enjoyed their worship. The Jewish worship was barren, lifeless orthodoxy. They had all the truth and everything behind it, but they weren't into it. Jesus rebuked both styles of worship. Once again, John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The two enemies of worship are demonstrated at the two locations that we talked about. The Samaritans worshiped at Mount Gerizim, and it needed to be based on truth. The type of worship offered in Jerusalem needed the excitement and enthusiasm that was offered by the Samaritans. Enthusiastic heresy is heat without light. Barren orthodoxy is light without heat. These two extremes, I think you'd agree, are even still with us today. There are many religions there are some religions and cults who have enthusiastic worship, but no truth to back it up. However, there are also forms of religions and denominations today who have very strong, it popped right off, didn't it? Who have very strong doctrine, but have lost the joy of their faith. They've lost the joy of their worship. They know the truth, but they've forgotten how to find the joy in it. Our Father seeks both enthusiasm and orthodoxy. He expects spirit and truth from us. Worship in spirit. So what does that mean? In verse 24, which we read previously, the spirit in the verse it's talking about us. It's talking about our, if you want to call it, inner person or whatever, okay? But worship is not something that has to have external things for it to happen. We don't need those things. It doesn't need the right place. It doesn't need the right... There is nothing that says that 6:30 is the right time for prayer and Bible study. Doesn't have to have the right time. Doesn't have to have the right words. Doesn't have to have the right demeanor. It doesn't have to have the right clothes. Doesn't have to have the right formalities nor the right music. It doesn't have to have the right mood. Worship should flow from the inside out. Paul understood this. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you. David also understood this. Psalm 45:1. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. David understood what God needed from our worship when he was repenting to God. It's what this next section of scripture talks about. Psalm 51:15-17. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. David understood that God wasn't wrapped up in all the external signs of what some people would consider a worshiping church. He knew God was more concerned that the person, or more concerned with the person's heart or the church's heart as well. In these verses, David describes a man who is filled with contrition, gratitude, and praise. The person is so filled with it that it pours out of his mouth, that pours out of his soul. This type of worshiper exudes these things. Authentic worship is a function of the heart. It's not about the rituals, the costumes, atmospheres, special locations, or any of the external things we want to make it all about. Praise isn't true praise unless it comes from the very depths of our being. In this sin-stained world and who we are, we have talked about that we are flawed beings. We try to do our best that we can to worship our holy and righteous God, but our worship falls short because of our sinful nature. However, for us to allow worship to fall into a routine or to look at our worship services as something we do from rote would be an insult to our God. We want to praise him and we want to be thankful for all he has done for us. And so we need to be careful that we don't look at, okay, here's the praise and worship section. Okay, that's it. Yeah, I don't know how you guys have thought, but Jason and I have been talking, and you know, we've sort of switched things up a little bit with doing that first song, and then him doing sort of like an intro to the sermon, and then we do the next two. For those of y'all that remember Rick when he was 6 and 7 that are here, do you remember the old order of service? You remember how we used to open with a song? And then we would do announcements and maybe a prayer. And then we would do a song that we sat down on. See, I remember, this is the rote section where Rick remembers. We did a song that we sat down on. And then we had the offertory hymn that we would sing that we would stand up for. You remember? I remember that. Now, that can be good or bad. I remember it because it's what we did and we did and we did and we did for years. And if that just became the way that we did service, just because that's the way that we did service, that became something that was almost like we had to have that to happen that way in order to have service. I think it's good to switch it up just so that we don't find ourselves in that rut. So that we don't find ourselves knowing that you're looking at your clock if you're away from church and say, it's like when I'm not at school and I've got a substitute. Well, they're in second period right now. Good luck. I know that class well. Do you find yourselves when you're away from worship and it's about 20 after 10? Well, Jason's getting up to preach about now. We don't need to... Yeah, it's good to have things that you see in worship and all that that you can relate to, but we don't need to make it so fixed. How to have a worshiping spirit. Have you ever been in a service where you felt an overwhelming nearness to the presence of God? I've been in those before. I've been in them here. I've been in them in concerts. I've been in them at church camp at times when I was a youth. There are definitely those times that I can remember. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, your double-minded. If we are to have a heart of worship towards God that is so full that it just flows out of us, we must strive for the following things. First, we must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to move and work through us during a service, we can't worship God. We're quenching the Holy Spirit. You've heard that before. If we don't allow him to move, we're not allowing him to work through the service and to work through us to worship and praise our God. The Holy Spirit is the one who truly knows God. How can we worship someone we can't understand? We must have the help of the Spirit who does. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. This sort of, not sort of, it does. It affirms that true worship comes from salvation. As Christians, we should be stirred to worship by the Holy Spirit. We can only have the Holy Spirit once we have accepted the gift of salvation. So to have true worship, you have to be saved. Second, our thoughts must be centered on God. How many of you all have heard the word meditation? Yeah? Everybody's heard it. I'm going to tell you that that word had been stolen from me until this study. Why? How many of the New Age religions and cults talk about meditation? I balked at it. It was a word that I didn't even want to have mentioned. Give you an example. When I first started teaching at Blennerhassett, when I first started teaching in Greenbrier County, they didn't have the mentor-mentee program. By the time I got the job at Blennerhassett, they had started that program, and you traveled to Charleston with your mentor, and you went through, they had classes for the mentor, they had classes for the mentee. Well, I went to one, and this lady says, now I would like for you all to realize the value of meditation. I'd like for you to close your eyes. And I would like for you to focus on a nice, serene picture where you're... I'm not kidding you. That whole time she's going through this whole thing, I am staring at her with laser eyes because I'm not meditating. That has nothing to do with who I believe in, and it goes totally against. I'm telling you. The whole time, that's exactly what I was like. I don't even know that I blinked my eyes much because I was like, I ain't doing it. It's not happening. You cannot get me to meditate. Meditation is just focusing the whole mind on one subject, concentrating reason, imagination, and emotion on one reality. That's what we're supposed to be doing during worship. Think about it. We're supposed to be focusing in on our God. We're supposed to be bringing everything, concentrating our reason, our imagination, and our emotions on Him. And how hard is that for us to do now? With all that we get hit with now, we get hit with so much in media, and it has crept into, and I mean, when I'm teaching a lesson, they tell me not to spend any more than 7 or 8 minutes on one item, then move on to something else. You can go back and revisit it, but you've got to keep things moving because kids cannot concentrate on one thing any longer than that. We have got to train ourselves. If you've noticed, almost every Sunday morning now, I'm mentioning that we're trying to shut out what's going on in and around us for that next hour. We're trying to focus in on our God so that we can lift our praises to Him and so that we can focus on Him. We have got to train ourselves to not only meditate on that, but we need to meditate on God's Word and the preaching of God's Word. The heart of meditation is the discovery of insight from God's truths. We find these truths when we study and meditate on God's Word. A quote from Charles Spurgeon will lead us into the third thing we need to focus on. I know that you can't read it. I'm going to read it for you here. But I wanted to put it up there. So, why is it that some people are always in a place of worship and yet they are not holy, though they make some slight advances in the divine life? Is because they neglect their closets. They love the wheat, but they do not grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs on the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows, but they will not stoop to drink of it. Third, to worship, we must have an undivided heart. Without it, worship is impossible. I don't think there's anyone in here that would have problems relating to this at all. I know I do. We sit down to pray. We come into worship, and as we're there, there are about 1,000 things that'll come rushing into our minds that we need to do. Oh, did I turn the oven on? Oh, what's going on outside? For me, it's like, oh my, what's going on with that microphone? Oh, I forgot to change that word. Oh, man. There's always something going on. Something to distract us from what we're really meant to do here when we come into this building or when we're sitting down even at home during our quiet time to worship and praise our God and meditate on His Word. David, who was king, offered this. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Psalm 57:7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. And he says almost the same thing in Psalm 108:1. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Worship will come from a heart that is totally focused and aimed at God. The last thing that we need to do, but probably the most important, is we must be repentant. We cannot come into the presence of our holy, righteous God if there is sin in our lives. Psalm 24:3-4. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. We're often aware of sin in our lives, and we need to confess those before God. And if you remember, I say, I really think that we ought to start our service a lot of times with the altar open so that we can come and confess those sins before God before we even start our worship service. Or in the least, we ought to at least have a room where people can go in and they can pray and they know that that room is there for them. But there are also times that we have sin that we're unaware of that has crept into our lives. That's why David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's Psalm 139, 23 through 24. We all have areas in our lives where we're aware of sin, but we also have sin that we are unaware of. It is our nature. You know, I really honestly, truly believe that once God has helped us conquer an area of sin, he's going to reveal another. We are not going to be perfect until we reach heaven. We will not reach that goal until we're there. And so once we get an area of sin under control and God has helped us do that, he's going to reveal another area that we need to work on. We're not going to do that. We're not going to be perfect. We all have these sins. It's, once again, it's our nature. That is why we need to pray this prayer openly and honestly. When we do, this is when we're really going to see God start dealing with us individually and as a church. When we all are willing to pray Psalm 139, 23 through 24. So, my question at the end of tonight's study is, are you willing to pray Psalm 139, 23 through 24? When we do as individuals and when we do as a church, that's when God is going to start, not like he isn't trying to do incredible things right now. Man, I can't get over what all's going on. So, that's the end of tonight. Speaking of incredible things, if you're on Facebook, did you see the number of kids that Ben had Sunday morning? 25 kids back in Pray Station. Now tell me this. Did you all hear what the CDC said about schools Friday afternoon? 3 feet now. Guess what that did? That opened up Ben to go from 27 seats to 41. Just so happened that the CDC... Folks, that's God. That's God opening doors, and we always need to remember that. Just so many incredible things going on. Youth, I forget how many Mark said he had Sunday, but it was one of the highest numbers that they'd had. I think they had 20-some kids at their youth evangelism stuff Sunday night. There are some really, really cool things happening here that we don't necessarily get to see all the time because it's not happening here or where we're at. You look at the kids and the youth and what's going on there. So just a lot to be thankful for. So, all right, prayer requests. Larry or Fred going to fight for the microphone down front? I'm going to sell to Alan, move the camera. We're going to put this on film to watch these two. I'm going to turn on white, Alan, if you want to go over and hit it. And then, oh, you're going to take that off?
My oxygen.
Oh, okay. Is that a good thing?
It'll take a while for me down the road.
Well, here, Larry will start out. All right. Prayer requests from anyone in-house or on Facebook. I have not seen anything on Facebook. I will tell you that Julie and I got the chance to go see Larry and Wanda. And, you know, just a lot of health issues going on there. So just continue to remember them. And then we also got to go see Jackie and Priscilla. And Jack, Monday, actually got to walk outside. Physical therapy took him outside, and he said that's the first time he's been out since all of this started. So he was excited about that, but he says, I am taking it slow, and I am doing what they're telling me to do. And if things go well with the appointment with the cardiac doctor, they'll be starting his cardiac rehab here soon. So anyway, that's what I, Kevin Mahaffey, if you saw him put on, I don't know if he did anything to update that or not, but they didn't find any blood clots or anything in his mom's leg and said that's really sort of typical for that. So just continue to remember his mom as she continues to rehab from that, okay? Others that you all might have. Larry's ready to go. Miss Wink has one.
I have a test in the morning, and I have surgery Monday morning, so keep me in your prayers.
All right. So Wink has a test tomorrow morning and then surgery next week? Monday morning. Okay. Make sure when you're using your mics, roar up. There you go.
The first part is a joy. My cousin, who is my one, his cancer that he had is in remission.
Awesome.
So that's good. But the second part of it is he has a dog, and that's his best friend, and he just found out his dog has cancer, so he's really bummed over that.
Yeah. Tammy Marks just put on here, prayer for a student at WVU. God knows who it is. So, Miss Betty?
Yes, Clarence sees the specialist in Cleveland on April the 29th. So hopefully they'll be able to help him. And Nikki is having some tests, so please remember her.
All righty. 29th is a really good day, Clarence, of April. It is, but it's a great day. Might be somebody's birthday. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't toot my own horn. Other requests. Oh, Wink has another, Larry. They are. Both Larry and Wanda are at home. Larry is supposed to go back sometime this week to see if he has to have a second surgery or not. So,
are they still taking food?
I imagine they wouldn't turn it away. That's actually what we did Monday evening. I called him Fred and Deanna because they wanted liver and onions from Mary B's. Pray for him. Pray for him. Yeah. Yuh. There's just something about the texture. It's not the flavor, it's the texture. And when it's texture, you can't get over it. Thank you. No, actually, I enjoyed the smell of the onions. It, once again, it has nothing to do with the flavor, it's the texture. I just feel like you can't brush your teeth enough to get it out. So. I know. Oh, Shannon's already wishing me a happy early birthday. Judy Dunphy has an unspoken, so remember that. anything else. Hold on. Judy, I have asked them to speak loud into the mic, so that so anyway, go ahead.
Pray for Jake Harvey. He is a young guy that Wyatt plays soccer with, but he's been having some problem. They thought it was his heart, but it's not, and we're thankful for that. But just continue to pray for him because he has a regiment that he has to do, Tylenol and all that. Just pray for him that God will help heal his body. He had COVID, and all this is related to that.
That has really opened the door for us, if that family there is be a positive witness for the Lord. One thing, we did have a meeting with our new director of Operation Christmas Child. It's going to be a challenge. There's someone who has volunteered to take over my position, but I don't want to, probably a lot of you already aware of, but she has to go through an approval process and all that before it becomes official. But to pray as Father as that develops on.
So your son and daughter are doing a happy dance.
They told me, said the person said, "You take the title and I'll take the work." I says, "Well, I know the hierarchy at Operation Christmas Child would not let that work. And if I would go tell my kids and my wife that I was doing that, they would be very, very unhappy. And you just can't operate that like that. So once you're removed, you got it." Because I've been doing that for a few years, but I knew the time had come. But just pray for that minister. It's a great ministry.
Dolores Smith has on here, she's praying that she'll be able to be back with us Sunday morning. So just keep Dolores in your prayers. Anyone else? All right, let's see. Okay, not seeing anything else this evening. And once again, those of y'all that are online, if you think of something, you all as well, if you think of anything, you can add it to the prayer list or whatever. But anyway, we'll go ahead and pray, and then just pray for Sunday. Pray for me Sunday. I've got a direction. I was sort of sharing it with our principal in school, and she was like going, "Ooh." But anyway, I want to make for sure, I want Scripture to back up the way God's leading me, and if that's the way it's supposed to go, then He'll give me the Scripture to run with that. So anyway, but I've got it all sort of laid out and everything. Now I just need to... We've got point A and point B. Now what are the steps to get us there, right? And you know what, school, I was sort of joking around, but we are approaching spring break. Just pray that things continue to lay low because the kids are ready for it and we are too. So anyway, here's the deal. If I didn't have to wear this thing all the time through the whole day, but I'm telling you, there are times by the time I get done with my eighth grade choir and trying to sing through this thing, I'm out of breath. And I am sweating like you would not believe. It is not easy. And I know that you guys, you know, you sort of experience it. Come spend some time with me, and you'll have a whole new appreciation. I can't wait till these things are gone. cannot wait. So anyway, and yeah, it's definitely gonna. It's definitely been a year of education for all of us, and where we're starting out at again. So anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you once again so much for this evening. Father, for your word. Father, help us with those things that we talked about this evening. Lord, help us to be able to look at those. And Lord, when we come into worship, Lord, help us to have one thing on our mind when we come in here. And Father, that is to offer praise to you. Lord, that is to come in here, Father, to praise you, to learn more about you. And Father, to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our worship services. And Father, also, as the last thing was that we dealt with, Father, when we come into service, Lord, help us during that time when we're beginning to focus in on you, whether it be while that first video is playing, or Father, even during the first song that we're singing. Lord, just help us to confess any sin that we may have that we have come into this room with. And Father, also help us to just allow you to reveal those unconfessed sins to us as well. And Father, help us to be the people that we need to be so that people can see the worship that we bring you. Father, not so that it's something, Lord, it just needs to be something that's offered to you so that people can see the difference that you've made in our lives. And Father, that we come to you and Lord, just with an excitement, Lord, that we're just here to love on you. And Father, once again, that excitement that people can see. Father, not only the love that we have for you, but Father, the love that we have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, even though there may be times that there might be people that might get a little under our skin for different things, but Father, that we can still love each other through the love that you have given to us. Father, help us to show that and help us genuinely show that towards each other. Father, be with the requests that were mentioned tonight. Lord, you know the needs. Father, we have medical needs that were mentioned this evening. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with those. And Father, that you'd be with the doctors as they deal with these situations. And Lord, we just pray for healing where there's healing that is needed. Father, we pray for where there is strength for medications and treatments that are coming up. Lord, we just pray that you would give that as well. And Father, that we could just be thankful, Lord, that you have just given us the knowledge to be able to deal with these things now. And Father, for the praises that were offered as well, Father, we're thankful for those. And Lord, we just want to be careful to give you praise in the way that you move, in the way that you work. And for our pastor, Father, I want to remember him this evening as he and his wife are away. And Father, as they're about halfway through their vacation, Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to bless their time together. And Lord, that you would just continue to just recharge batteries that need to be recharged for what you have them doing here. And Father, once again, I mentioned what's going on within the church. And Father, we are so thankful. There are so many things that we just need to stop and just give you praise for. Father, for the number of kids that were back in Pray Station, Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, just pray that you would just continue to bless that ministry. And Father, that you would just continue to guide Ben and the people that help him back there. And Lord, that you would just continue to just guide that ministry. Father, for our youth ministry, as Mark has been sharing as well, as they have been seeing some really, really good numbers back there. And Father, we're just so thankful for that as well. And Lord, Mark and Amber and the families getting ready to leave as well on vacation. And so, Father, we just pray that you would bless their time together as they're away as well. And Father, for Sunday morning, Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to lead me in the direction that you would have me to go Sunday morning. And Lord, as we take a look at Palm Sunday and the way that that people just praised your son as he came into Jerusalem. But then Father Friday, we're turning around and we're hanging him on a cross. Father, I just pray that you would help me to work through the different parts of this sermon as we get, like I was telling them, from point A to point B. And Father, that you would just give me the words that you would have me to say Sunday morning. Father, I pray that you'd be with Michaela as she leads us in worship Sunday. And Father, that you would just be with her. Be with the rest of the praise team too, as that's always a change. But Father, what a great group I get to work with each Sunday. And Father, I am so thankful for them and the talents that they choose to use for you. So Father, be with us tonight. Be with us as we go about our lives in the different places where you place us. And Father, once again, help us to be that light that people need to see in this world so that they can know, come to know who you are and Father, the love that you have for them. Father, once again, we love you. We thank you. Father, help us to just dig more and more into your word so that we can be more like you. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Huh? Oh, Joy McMullen. If you all didn't see the, it was on our prayer page and all that as well, but she did have a spot that came back. And so they are going to treat this very aggressively. They're going to, I think they called it a craniotomy, which I am assuming is opening up the skull and going in and getting that, resecting that tumor, and then radiation and all that after that. So, and she said, you know, she's very thankful. She says, I don't know where I would be with all this if it weren't for our God. So just continue to remember them in your prayers and, of course, the family. And if, once again, their church family, as you know, they've not been there that long, so they're still getting to know each other. So anyway, yes, do continue to remember them. All right. So Sunday morning, 10:30 live stream, 9 o'clock if you can be in person. That's our most vulnerable, or that's for our most vulnerable. And then 10:30. You're welcome to come anytime. Amen? Wear your masks.